is cheap, but words cut deep. We gotta take a stand and fighting hand in hand. Hide behind your lies and your disguise. It starts with you and I to keep the love alive. You gotta change with your sense of dignity. No hate, we gotta act differently. Why wait? Be the positivity. I'll stand up, we hang enough. Change with your sense of dignity. No hate.
Good morning, everyone, or good afternoon, or good evening, depending where y'all all are located. So welcome back to Java with Just Jody. That is right here on the Patriots Helping Patriots Network on Rumble. So grab that cup of Java and get ready to meet my next guest. You guys, he is the radio host of Sovereign Radio with over a 40-year career in radio. So he's currently standing up for America and is part of the Take Our Border Back convoy that is traveling the borders of our beautiful nation. That's right. I'm so excited about this convoy, you guys. You know, it's a dangerous time for all of us. So I just want to ask everybody to keep everybody in the convoy in their prayers today. Joe Biden and the Democrats have created this massive border crisis, a complete invasion, as we know, right? There is over 60 instances, I believe Heidi told me 64 actually, of violations that are undermining all of our border security policies, including the voting against hiring more border agents, which makes no sense to me, by the way, including aiding sanctuary cities. He added them actually and aided them. That was kind of unusual. He was refusing to fund the border wall, of course, as most of us already know. And he sent stimulus checks to illegal immigrants. So we have a massive invasion driving most of us insane because we know what is happening down on these borders. He ended, you know, the Remain in the Mexico policy. There was a policy that stated you need to remain in Mexico, and he ended that and refused to deport all of the felons that crossed over into our borders. So that's just to name a few. Please welcome my next guest, Mr. Scotty Sachs from Sovereign Radio, and he is live on the border in the convoy. So let's bring Scotty in. Scotty, hey, good Jody. Morning. I know it's early.
I'm not live on the border yet. I'll be there Saturday.
You'll be there Saturday.
I'm there in spirit. The convoy is headed to from Dripping Springs, Texas today to Kimato, where we will have a Texas rally. And of course, there's rallies in Yuma, Arizona, San Ysidro, Texas as well. I hope we can spend some time talking about the event. So, yeah, we're really excited. It's, you know, time to send a message to our local and state officials. I think the federal government is gone. nothing we can do about the federal government. It's been co-opted. It's captured entity. All of Washington, D.C. is captured, in my opinion. I think between the Democrats and the rhinos, this is why nothing gets done. This is why the borders have remained open for 3 years. Think about it. If we had a strong opposing force in Congress, these borders could have been closed a long time ago.
Yeah.
We had a strong opposition from what can only come from Republicans or independents because the Democrats are in lockstep. They're all bought and paid for. But sadly, I think 80%, maybe more, of our Republican Party is they're Republicans in name only. It's a uniparty in Washington, D.C. They're in lockstep. They may say one thing in front of the camera, but when it comes time to do and vote, they're always in lockstep, these two parties. So I call them the uniparty now.
I love it.
It's really time for we the people to send a message to our local and state officials. We have a national security crisis. I don't know if the world understands. The average American is so busy going about their business, trying to pay for groceries, which we all know what's happened to the price of groceries, right? Trying to pay for gas, trying to pay their mortgages, that they don't have time to think about the border until it hits home hard. And it's about to hit home hard, not just on the border states. We have hundreds of thousands of military-age men in this country now, and they're very capable of unleashing terror attacks at any moment. I've interviewed on Sovereign Radio three major military figures, lieutenant colonels, Pete Chambers, Colonel Mills, Brad Miller, who penned the letter of accountability, the military letter of accountability that 200 and some active duty military signed, holding the military, this woke military, accountable for their actions, really shooting down the woke military's policy about transgenders and all the entire woke agenda has been infused into the military. So these guys penned a letter. But the point is, all of these men that are military, that understand the border and what a security threat is to our nation, and the best customs and border agent I know to tell the story about the border, Victor Avila. Special Agent Victor Avila.
Is he from ICE?
He's retired. He was with ICE.
Okay, I do know his name.
ICE. He was with Homeland Security and ICE. Yeah. He fought the war on both sides of our border. Victor got in a shootout with the cartels.
Yeah.
Lost his partner, Jaime Zapata. Had bullets riddled through his whole body, but he lived to tell the story. And he's talked about it on my show, the satanic rituals he's observed, the human trafficking, the pedophilia. Do you know that right now human trafficking and is at all-time high?
Oh, yeah.
And why is that? Because they're wide open and nobody's policing the borders. Not only are the border agents not allowed to do their duty, the local police on the border have been told to stand down too.
Yeah.
So you got a double whammy. You got Border Patrol going, I see nothing, I hear nothing, and you got the local police doing the same now.
It's unbelievable, you know, the order to cut the wire and Texas standing up to them is a beautiful thing with the states that are getting behind them. But, you know, same thing. We've had people that work for the DOD that we've interviewed, and they've talked about the human trafficking that they have dealt with in the transport from the border of these illegal immigrant children that are being dropped off at these weird Walmart super centers. I mean, it's unbelievable. You know, it's really traumatizing to realize that we have so many cartel members that have now crossed over into our country in human trafficking. Like, we are leading in the world in human trafficking, America.
And let's talk about the fentanyl.
Oh, yeah.
More Americans are dying from fentanyl than ever before because it's coming over the border unchecked. It's just simply not being curtailed. It's not being stopped. The cartels are moving drugs across our border freely. Fentanyl is killing more Americans than ever before. And, you know, this is I don't think it's a surprise. I know you probably have these conversations. This is a conscientious plan by the globalists to destroy America. They know what they're doing. They know the consequences of leaving a border wide open in a country like America. They understand what makes a nation is borders, language, and culture. And we don't have any borders, and we won't have a language and a culture if we go on a couple more years like this. There's already an estimated 12 to 15 million, I call them illegal aliens, because that's what they are. They're not here. They're immigrants, but many of them came here for the right reasons, like my grandparents and your grandparents who came here for a better life. But unfortunately, they're bringing some of the worst people. Venezuela emptied their jails. They brought them all here. These men are in our country now, on our streets. Ask the women in Switzerland, how did that go for them, the immigration in Switzerland, when they brought a couple million Muslim men into their country for a better life?
Yeah.
And now women can't go out at night and walk alone in their own country.
No, it's horrific.
You know, borders, language, and culture make a nation. We're losing our borders. We've lost our borders under this current globalist plan to take down America. And how many languages? There's 160 countries. People have come here now in the 3 years of the open borders from 160 countries. Keep doing that. We won't be speaking English in America. It'll be unrecognizable as a language in 10 years. And our cultures, you know, the American culture means a lot to you and to me and to my daughter. I have a 16-year-old daughter. I'm in this fight for her. You know, I'd like to see her raise children. And she's 16. I want her to have the life that I had in this great country.
Yeah.
You know, I don't even want to talk about growing up in the late 60s and the 70s, how we lived back then with our doors open and our neighbors walking in and out. And our my garage door was open so that my neighbor kids can borrow my bicycle. If they wanted to come take my bike, they could.
When we could come home when the street lights were on. The street lights are on, you got to get home, right? That's not the case anymore. No. We're not like go anywhere. Like we are everywhere our children go. We're GPSing them, you know.
Can't let our children out to ride their bicycles in the neighborhood even anymore. So this is the state of affairs. We have a globalist agenda that's being executed. Probably for another show. I don't want to get into it, but I do believe the white hat. There's a white hat contingency.
I'm fine going there. I do believe that too. I really do. And, you know, as time goes on, you have to, you know, I always say to people, please realize the circumstance, meaning there's always been, you know, an awareness that this was their agenda. Even if we, the people as Americans, weren't aware, the people up above were aware. You know, we're not left dangling alone. Right. So I believe in the white hat agenda. There has to be a white hat agenda because there's nobody wants to, you know, become a third world country and live, you know, under the thumb of a Hitler type dictator.
You know, that agenda actually started in the 60s when JFK was assassinated. 22 military generals got together. We've got to do something about. They knew about the globalists. They knew about the central banking cartel. And how they wanted to control the world through the central banks. And listen, this open border thing was inevitable. They were going to do this at some point to put the destroy America from within agenda into effect. They had to open the borders. It's part of their overall plan to destroy us. And it's really an interesting time to be alive. It's probably the greatest time to be alive because we're going to see some things happen. I believe that the deep state, as we call them, is about to be taken down. I think they know they're being taken down. I think they're desperate. And I think this is their last effort to implement their plan. They're going out scorched earth. I said that on Sovereign Radio a couple weeks before Lahaina happened. I used the term scorched earth. When Lahaina happened, I didn't think it was literally scorched earth. But, you know, the Lahaina, the elder, good news is Lahaina has some elder people. They're indigenous Hawaiians, the elderly, they call them, the indigenous elderly, that had the whole evidence of the plan of what happened in Lahaina. So that'll get resolved eventually. The truth will come out on that. The truth's going to come out on everything.
Yeah.
I believe the truth will prevail. will understand how this world has been run, at least since 1913. That was the beginning of their, you know, the takeover when they implemented the Federal Reserve Act, took control of money. Amschel Rothschild, who was three generations ago of Rothschilds, the central banking Rothschild family, said, give me a control of a nation's currency, and I care not who makes the laws. Mm-hmm. So he who has the gold makes the rules. They've had the control of the banks and the money for since 1913 in America.
Yeah.
They've been able to implement all of their control plans. And this is kind of their last phase, the open border plan. Yeah. So I think this is the hill to die on.
I always tell people, since you're hitting on it, you know, when we talk about the banking system, for people that are, you know, kind of just now beginning this journey with us and standing up and realizing things are wrong, to really dig into who owns those banks, you know, and see for yourself before you make any other assumptions onto, oh, Chase owns Chase, right? That's not how that works, right? You know, there's very big elite globalists involved that do not want what's best for us. So
there's a book written in 2009 that you read that book, you'll understand the banking system. It's called The Creature of Jekyll Island. It's by G. Edward Griffin. I read that in about 2011, 2012, completely opened my eyes to a lot of different things that I hadn't thought about in my lifetime. And, you know, I've been in mainstream media, as you said, for 40 years.
Tell me
I wasn't awake
about you
all those years. You know, I was, I was in the system. I was sleepwalking in media with the crowd and believed that the world was one way when it's really another. I was living in the Matrix. You know, in 1989, I was at an ABC event. I tell this story when I go on somebody's show the first time, because if I share two anecdotes with you, it explains why we're at where we're at in 2024. It explains the world in 2024 when I share these two anecdotes. So Peter Jennings, the ABC anchor, I don't know if you remember Peter Jennings.
Yeah, I do. I was pretty young, but I do remember him. Okay. That's crazy. So, I haven't heard his name in so long.
Canadian born man, came to America, fell in love with this country, became an American citizen. The right way. He did it through the process that we're supposed to go through to become a citizen as a Canadian. He went through that process.
Legal. He was legal.
He was a legal American citizen and a patriot. He loved the country. We were at a... by circumstance, we ended up at a table alone at an ABC TV event.
Oh, wow.
I got there late. There was nowhere to sit. All the tables were full. There was one table in back that was open. I grabbed my food and sat down, started eating, and I look up, and I'm sitting with Peter Jennings. He's the only one at this table, and he's drinking. And I notice the more he has to drink, the looser his lips become. He opens up to me. He warms up.
That would be me if I ever have a cocktail.
Yeah. So... my grandfather hated the man, used to throw things at the TV. He said he's a great journalist, but he said he's anti-Semite. He hates Jews. My grandfather escaped from the Holocaust. He escaped from one of Hitler's concentration camps. So he's a little sensitive to what he thought was anti-Semitic rhetoric from Peter Jennings. So I asked Peter about it after a few drinks. I said, Peter, is there any truth to what my grandfather said about you, that you hate Jews, you're anti-Semitic? He smiled. He said, your grandfather was a very intuitive man. Although I've never hated Jews and I am not anti-Semitic, I do sympathize with the Palestinian Arabic plight because I did not get a hotel room when I was a rookie reporter. I got a host family. I lived with them 18 months. I broke bread with them. They were a Palestinian Arabic family that I fell in love with, and I suffered a human emotion called sympathy.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And so I sympathized. Your grandfather was picking up on that. Mm-hmm. He said, I give him some credit. He said, but Scotty, and here's the punchline, it doesn't matter what I say. I said, of course it matters what you say. You're Peter Jennings, my company, even back then, was subscribing to Nielsen ratings to see who watches TV.
Okay.
By time of day. So we knew what TV shows were being watched by how many people. And I said, Peter, in the ratings, you're number one. Number one in the U.S. and number one in the world. You have more people watching your newscast than any newscaster in the world. So, of course, it matters what you say. He said, no, it doesn't, Scotty. because everything you see and hear on TV is a media construct and a narrative to fit an agenda. I asked him, can you repeat that? He said, Scotty, everything you see on TV is a media construct and a narrative to fit an agenda.
Yeah.
I went home that night and thought about it. What does he really mean? And I couldn't put the pieces together. Well, we know today what it means. We know about Operation Mockingbird Media now. The CIA admitted to Congress in the 70s that they infiltrated and subverted mainstream media with CIA operatives mm-hmm. to control the narrative. So by 89, when Peter was doing the news, it was completely controlled by the intel agencies. They were controlling the talking points. And Peter admitted to me he was reading talking points.
That's so right. And you know what? I mean, look at today's world for people who don't remember Peter Jennings. And think about Tucker for a second, right? He was refusing to be controlled within a network.
Yep.
And they got rid of him. And look at Tucker now. Tucker is huger than life, right? Yep. And there's too many people that are uniting and standing together now. It's not a right or left agenda anymore. It's, you know, a humanity thing. And here we are waiting and waiting and waiting and taking action in every direction we can. But still, this is a process that, like you said, it's one of the greatest times to be alive, if not the, like we've been chosen to be here. I firmly believe that and awake to what's happening. But on the other side, Scotty, you know, it's scary for the people that have just joined us.
Well, you know, the world is awakening because of what Peter said. Since the 50s, we have been controlled by a narrative. Yeah. We're all of us watched TV growing up. We were all listening to things, whether it was the news or cartoons or sitcoms. They inserted things in those programs to play in our minds, to get us to buy into their system. Mm-hmm. Hold that thought, what Peter Jennings said, and introduce my other little anecdote I want to tell about Johnny Cash and his wife, June Carter Cash. I did business with them in the early 90s. Wonderful couple. Johnny was a true American patriot, by the way.
Yeah.
So he had produced content called Johnny Cash American Folklore. I heard it from his management team. I said, let's put that on radio. Let's syndicate it into two-minute vignettes, edit it down. They were 30 minutes of Johnny just strumming his guitar and talking about America. Life in America. That's all it was. He would talk, he would sing and strum his guitar and tell stories about his life on the road in America. He loved this country. Yeah. So I said, we'll edit him down. We'll put him on. We got it on 200 stations. Then his record label called, said, sorry, you don't own that music rights for that radio show. We do. Johnny said, oops, I forgot. I forgot about my record label because he had not met with his record label in years. And he had not met with the media in years.
Yeah, he's Johnny Cash.
He didn't want to meet with him, and I'll tell you why in a minute. So I got on a plane, negotiated with the record company. When I got back, I joined the Cashes at a live event. Johnny was doing a concert. Backstage, June had a bunch of friends. His wife had friends. She was thanking me profusely to her friends for what I had done for Johnny, going to meet with the record label, negotiating the music rights, on and on and on. This man got us on 200 radio stations. She's thanking me. I said, no, I'm 29 years old. I'm thanking you and Johnny for this opportunity. Don't thank me. She said, no, you don't understand something, Scotty. Johnny won't do business with them anymore. He won't meet with them. He won't talk to them. He wants nothing to do with the music industry or the mainstream media. I said, why is that, June? She said, they're a Luciferian satanic cult.
Yep. I said,
will you repeat? Will you repeat that, please? They're a Luciferian satanic cult, she said. So if we've been controlled by a media narrative that's a construct and a narrative and an agenda, and the world has been run by a Luciferian satanic cult, Johnny was referring to the upper echelons of society that ran the world in media, in banking, in Hollywood, in all of entertainment, and now sports too. Sports is completely co-opted now. By the Luciferian cabal. So we've lived in a world that is run by a mindset we don't understand. We believe in God.
Right? Yeah. They believe in Satan. The moment they said, not to interrupt, but the moment they said it was okay to kneel for, you know, during the presentation of our flag and whatnot, I was like, this is not okay. Now we have a problem. And that was really a moment to wake up when you see professional sports teams allowing their people to kneel, but yet you're playing for an American team, right? I just thought to myself, what is happening? Something really bad is happening because we know the bloodshed for our flag, right? This is horrible. I was like, get off the field, you know, like, and it really began a process of, yeah, there are serious satanic, well, we can get into all kinds of stuff with that, but I'll say an agenda of the Satanist.
It's no wonder the left has referred to our Take Our Border Back convoy as a Christo-fascist group. We're a white Christian nationalist group that we're militia. They've said we're going to the border to confront the immigrants. We're not going to the border to confront. Our events, our rallies in San Ysidro, Yuma, and near Eagle Pass, Texas, in a little town called Kimato, mm-hmm. two of them are on private property. They're not on the border, up at the wall. We're not confronting anybody. We're holding peaceful assemblies mm-hmm. to send a message to our local and state officials. We don't want to open borders anymore. We've right. got to take a stand. If we do nothing and sit around idly, they're never going to get the message.
Absolutely.
I believe this convoy is going to be much bigger and badder than they ever thought, than we even thought. You know, we thought we could get $30,000-$40,000 raised, yeah. pay for the stages and the gas for the trucks leading, just pay our expenses and barely get by. We've raised $150,000.
It's so incredible. And I'm going to do the overlay really quick we can kind of tell everybody yeah. what's going on with
Please
that
do.
Who aren't aware. But we have been sharing it and promoting it for a while now. So you guys, this is where you go. You go to takeourborderback.com. This is where Scotty will be tomorrow. Now, I know every day this has been changing a little bit. My update anyway, was that Eagle Pass has been moved, correct?
Yes. It's in a little town called Kimato. It's all on our site. If you go to takeourborderback.com, everything's updated sometimes hourly on the site. So go to takeourborderback.com. There are route maps. There are details of locations. And today the location for the Yuma event, the actual specific location where we'll rally will be put on the site. So, yeah, the site is very comprehensive. There's two people working around the clock on that website.
It's amazing.
Donating their time. Two of our six steering committee members, Noel and Robert, have been amazing with the website, updating it every day.
Look at this. I mean, we're starting way over here on the map, all the way down the border and all the way across. Like, this is empowering for American people who know what's going on and how we have had this massive invasion into our country. You know, the infiltration is from within, right? So just check it out, you guys, the map. I want to send everybody on over to this website. So I wanted to show you why we're discussing it, where to go, which is takeourborderback.com. And it looks like you can get a detailed convoy calendar. So if you live in the area, you can show your support just by showing up into, you know, the event area. They're having rallies and whatnot. And it'll tell you, pack your campers in your car and your RVs and your trucks and bring your chairs, you know.
Jody, why not? You have the flyer up so we can't see the website.
Oh, thank you for telling me.
Yeah, sure.
Good Lord, save my life here as I'm going over
all
everything.
Of us who produced a show have done this.
So let me tell you this. I have made it to the page. All right. So anyway, yes, if you guys want to click on some of the extra links, you will see that you can, you know, bring your stuff, show your support. You can view the maps and the routes. And they have... Now, help me, Scotty, with this. They're having a rally at every location that they stay at. Is that how this is working?
All three locations, San Ysidro, San Diego, California, Yuma, Arizona, and near Eagle Pass in a little town called Kimato. It's on the map. It's on the map there. We're having rallies, peaceful assembly rallies, speakers, music. In San Diego, we have the woman whose song is a hit. Lady Nograde is her name. We have Tom Kaz, a country western singer. So we have a couple of entertainers and a list of speakers in each city. We'll be speaking about the issues on stage, playing some music and entertainment. Prayer, we're going to certainly pray together at the border, near the border. Again, we're not right on the border. We're near the border in all three locations. And it's symbolism. We're going down near the border to hold peaceful rallies and assemblies to protest our open borders. It's as simple as that. Can't be any more simpler. I think we'll have thousands of people at each location. Now, when we're done, the San Diego Ysidro Assembly is 9 to 11 a.m. When we're done, we're packing up and we're going up to Yuma to join the Yuma. Yuma starts at noon. It'll go till about 7 p.m. So we'll come in from San Ysidro on the back end in Yuma, and they're going to drive from Texas to Yuma as well. So wow. Everyone's converging in Yuma and going to end up in Yuma.
This is really,
and Yuma's
really
going to be something special because we're all going to end up there in the late afternoon, early evening. And mm-hmm. I think we'll make a big statement to the Arizona local and state officials. You know, our federal government, as we've said, is captured. They're done. There's nothing you and I and we the people can do about this administration that has stole the elections to gain power. We know what they did. It's proof. I've seen enough evidence to comfortably say on my own show and on your show, they stole the elections.
They
they're
truly
in power.
Did.
They're mm-hmm. being allowed by the White Hat contingency to show their agenda. This is about it. The last 3 years have been about exposing their agenda.
I firmly believe that.
And people say, well, if there was really White Hats, they wouldn't have done X, Y, and Z. Listen, war has casualties. Mm-hmm. The White Hat military generals running the plan for the good guys understand that we're at war. We're at war on many fronts, not just kinetic war in Ukraine and Israel. We're in a spiritual war.
Oh, yeah. They want a digital currency. War. We have all these crazy things on top of a spiritual war. I really firmly believe it's, you know, a time of good versus evil right now. And you just need to choose which you are. Right. And when you think about biblical purposes, and I look back, I'm like, you know, and just refreshing and reading or some of the shows that have been out, like The Chosen, there's been over, gosh, what did they say? 600 million people that have tuned in for The Chosen. Well, that's a show that probably wouldn't have done that well that, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, but it's doing so well. Talking about the life of Jesus and his route in which he took. And it's very much what we're experiencing as we, the people, with the invasion and how they invaded everywhere his people were, you know? So there's so much to it. We could go on about that forever, but I really firmly believe it is a biblical time right now. And we're going to look back in history and go, wow. You know, I'm hoping like my grandkids one day will be like, yeah, that was my grandma saying, no, we won't have this in America. We won't be dictated. We have a constitution, you know.
I agree. Now, I've done a series on Sovereign Radio called The Spiritual War, The Battle for Our Souls.
Oh.
And you can go to iHeart or Google Play or any of the podcast platforms and find, under Sovereign Radio, find the series. I had a biblical scholar on. This man traveled the world for 30 years and met with high-level clergy around the world. And I had SG Anon on. SG is an unbelievable understanding of the Bible, of the spiritual war we're in. You know who SG Anon is, I assume.
Yes, yes. Yeah. He's been within the network, actually. Yeah, here. Yeah. And
so he is quite a knowledgeable. He blows me away. Most subjects he can talk about in depth. His breadth of knowledge is just amazing, the guy. But anyway, yeah, we're in such a deep spiritual war. And, you know, 15, 20 years ago, I never would have imagined doing this. Talking about a spiritual war? What are you kidding me?
No.
What the hell is a spiritual war, right?
I might have had time to get my hair or my nails or something taken care of.
I was
not anymore.
Busy running a business and, you know, 16 years ago, had a daughter and my whole life focused on my business and my daughter. But, you know, after reading The Creature of Jekyll Island and understanding how the banking system works and how it controls business and the government and the economy and how the central banking families, these 13 bloodlines that have run the world probably for thousands of years.
Yeah.
At least since 1913, but probably really for hundreds of years.
Yeah. They've,
thousands of years. You know, I asked the guys, when did the spiritual war begin? How far back does it go? Do you know what the answer was? To the garden, Adam and Eve. It started right away.
Wow. Wow.
Right? Adam fell off the wagon. He went rogue. Adam became a Satanist.
Yeah.
I think that's the story. Or Eve. Yeah. One of them went off the farm and became captured by Satan. So this spiritual war goes all the way back to the garden. There have
fallen angel, Lucifer, for sure.
Have factually been 13 families, bloodlines, they call themselves, that have run the world for these years. And I don't know about all of them, but the ones who really control the show are satanic. They don't believe in God. They believe in Satan. So this is what we're up against, you know, our entire lives. We just didn't know it because what Peter Jennings told me, that everything is a construct and a narrative, because what we didn't know for years is we were being run, our political system, our economic, our financial system, our education system, our medical system has been run by the Luciferian banking cabal.
Oh, yeah.
So how do we counter that now? I hope this is the first of many convoys that will shut the borders down. Send the message that we need to send to shut our borders down. Of course,
absolutely
not if, but when Donald Trump comes back, he will shut the border down.
Oh, yes. We were doing quite well with that wall, weren't we? Yeah. And our protection in the Remain in Mexico policy. We weren't the leading country of human trafficking just 3 years ago. We were not. You know, when you look at the change, I just say to people, this isn't like, oh, a war on Biden, that for the people who still believe in that administration. I just want to say that it's not a war on Biden. It's a war on the people who control him. It's a war against Satan. It's a war to protect our country. Right. And it's a God family country kind of movement right now. And you will never see this many people stand up. Have we ever in our day? I have not.
No.
You know, in our day, I have never seen what we're seeing, especially over the last 2 years. And I've been doing this close to four. And the first 2 years were really difficult. We were banned everywhere. You know, we were shut down everywhere to speak out and say, hey, man, they don't want to hear about the fences at the White House. Bam. You know, well, what? Since when did our Capitol have like fences around it? And, you know, like this is our building. You know, since when weren't we allowed to tour? All these kinds of crazy things. Well, you know, guilty does what guilty does.
And sure does.
When you're guilty, you will hide everything you can, including the White House and the Capitol. So, yeah, I appreciate you so much for being down there. So what are you looking forward to tomorrow the most?
Well, it's Saturday. Today's Thursday, right?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I'm going to be a day ahead all week.
Yeah, you got me for a minute there. I thought, am I?
Tomorrow. Yeah.
What I'm looking forward to the most is the camaraderie of like-minded people in the thousands gathering together. You know, when two people pray, they say it's like 20 people praying. Mm-hmm. If we get a couple thousand people, and I think we'll have more than that, we get thousands of people together to send that message, to pray together, to come together for this country, it's going to make a very powerful statement. Being a part of that, being there on site in San Ysidro and in Yuma later in the day, is just going to be an overwhelming feeling that we're not alone in our thoughts. We are not alone. You are not alone. I am not alone. We have the majority of Americans are in agreement with us. I think 70% of Americans know the borders need to be shut down. I don't think there's but 20-some percent that say leave the borders open in this country. So Americans are smart enough now to know we've got to do something about the border issue. As I said, go to one of the countries where they left the borders open for a few years and they let men from the Middle East in. And I'm not knocking men on the Middle East. I'm knocking the globalist agenda for allowing bad men the prisons mm-hmm. to be emptied from countries and brought to other countries to destroy those countries.
Yeah.
America is the last bastion.
And we have our people in prison. Like, tons of really good people. They're not all super criminals like the JSX crew, you know? Yeah. Our people are locked up, but we're going to let the prisons out in Guatemala or, you know, Mexico or Brazil, wherever they're coming from, because they're coming from multiple countries, and we're going to send them over here. We're going to do some, you know, good work for America. No, they're not here to do good work for America.
No.
They are here to infiltrate from within.
Absolutely.
I had a really interesting person a while back. Once in a while, I refer to her when I think of her. Ava Chan. And she was working for the Republic of China now, right? And she was trying to expose what was going on with the CCP, the Communist Party. So when she was here, she was like, I just want to tell you, they have traveled here. They have crossed your borders. They have dual citizenship and they are now here. And if they don't have dual citizenship, they are here illegally. And I can verify this and show you where they're at. And she started talking about these warehouses in different places and rural communities of where they were. And she was fighting for her leader, Miles Guo or Gu. And he was pro-America, right? Mm-hmm. And they were trying to get rid of the CCP. And when she brought this to my attention that they're here, infiltrated from within, have been trained as soldiers and are waiting for the go, I just thought, this is crazy, because this is all during vaccination times and, you know, people kind of learning what was going on. And from that moment on, I just realized everybody that's being sent in the thousands is not just crossing. They're not just crossing to get a better life like we did.
Yeah. I wish it were. I wish it were, you know. I'm sure there are a large percentage that came here to escape, you know, despotism and poverty. But the reality is, because this is a globalist directed agenda event, this isn't just a natural process of people leaving their country and coming to America for a better life. The globalists are bringing people over by the tens of thousands. They're paying for them to come here. They're paying these people a stipend. They're giving them phones. They're putting them. We've got videos here in San Diego. A friend of mine, Audra Morgan, she has a radio show called Eye of the Storm on Salem in San Diego. She shot a video the other day at a hotel. They emptied out the hotel of the guests. They put fences around the, like they did the DC. They put fences around with mesh so you couldn't see in. They were busing illegals in to this hotel. They filled the hotel up with illegal aliens, and they wouldn't say... Audra tried to get from them, what are you guys doing here? Mm-hmm. Nobody would talk. Nobody mums the word. So listen, they're taking over schools. They found a school here in San Diego filled with illegals, hotels. So they're bringing them in such great numbers.
Yeah.
Many of them will end up homeless. That's inevitable.
Well, there's so many that have, you know, we had multiple, I'll just use one. There was a war veteran, World War II veteran, older man, had a nice little quaint apartment in New York for many years. I forget how many he was there, but it was a long time, like 50 years. And they brought in illegal immigrants to place in that building and threw out our war veteran. These are the stories that I'm like, people, do you not see what's going on? They're giving illegal immigrants stimulus checks, putting them up in a housing for free, and allowing them to possibly vote in the future. So all these things that are occurring, you're throwing out our good people that are in their golden years. This man had nowhere to go. His family had passed away. He outlived them all. You know, these things are horrific to watch happen. And that's what really gives, you know, me the fire to keep saying blah, blah, blah at the end of the day, because there's too much information people just miss or they don't look for, or they're living, you know, their soccer mom life. I'm a cheer soccer mom too, but I'm not pretending that these things aren't existing, you know?
So when you wear your hat to a soccer game, do you get conversations with other parents about that?
I wear a lot of them. There's different ones. I don't usually wear this United We Stand, to be honest. When I'm with my kids, I try to avoid political conversations as much as possible, unless I am dropping, you know, a pill for the day, if somebody irritates me or whatnot. But also, I will share, most of my viewers already know, but my husband is the mayor. He's new. That was a new gig for him to throw his hat in because of this movement, because of what's happening in our own community.
Where is he the mayor?
In Michigan. I don't usually say where I live directly, but we're in Michigan. We're in a smaller town.
Yeah.
And a lot of people do know I'm in Wayne County, a very corrupt
county.
That's
up to your husband and to you for taking that.
Yes.
We got to take our country back at a local level. That's that's why we're going on a local level to these little small towns. Well, Yuma's not a small town, but we've got to take it back. So great that your husband is.
Yeah, it was.
You know, your city is being run.
We were told he wouldn't win. They told us we wouldn't win, and all kinds of stuff. You know, with the agenda that's here under our specific governor. So, you know, it didn't work that way. The people spoke, and he did, and they knew he would do what's right by the community and the people. So that's kind of where we're headed right now. Like, you know, taking over somebody's mayoral area where they've ran a town for 24 years is a new ground to be on. But like, I listen to so many people who finally throw their hat into the ring of, you know, politics. And it's better to just not be a politician and be a servant and to your community. Just be a person, right? There's no politics here. We're a full law enforcement family, even my son. So it was, you know, and when he retired, there was all these other options of jobs and whatever. But it was like, we have to step up because our town could turn into the towns not far north from us, right? And no, I'm sorry, we're not on board with boys going into the girls' bathroom at our high school. That's not okay.
No.
It's not okay with me. There's too many girls that have been raped across the nation from these pretend transgender individuals that aren't even transgender, just dressed that way for the day. You know, I mean, there's a lot of really crazy, weird stuff. And we have three girls, and I got an older boy who's 26. He'll be 27 next week. So you would think, you know, more people would see that and fight, because it's not just your children. Now it's their children. Things have to fixed. You know, they have to be fixed. I have to tell everyone, because I'm so grateful you're here. I know you had dental work. So you are a trooper doing this today.
Yeah, it's starting to
bother you.
It's starting to calm down a little bit, but
good.
Yeah.
Anytime I have dental work, I'm pretty not functional that day. So you're a brave man. So what else are you thinking before we go today?
Well, you know, I'm thinking, like I always do, I'm a glasses half full guy.
Yeah.
And I really believe it's the greatest time to be alive, despite all the things I talked about and framed up today that are not pleasant to talk about.
Yeah.
You know, a media construct, a narrative that has been brainwashing Americans for many years, a Luciferian, you know, cult that runs the world. These are not pleasant things to talk about, but at the end of the day, I have sources and contacts that have led me to truly come to the conclusion that the white hat military contingency that is global, it's not just in the U.S. good men from the military from around the world got together and joined forces. I know people shudder and freak out when I say this, but Donald John Trump, Vladimir Putin, and Xi Jinping are working together to defeat a common enemy. People say, he's a commie, Xi Jinping. He is. But you know who his common enemy is? The central bankers. He's got a central bank of China, and he doesn't want them. He wants to run his country his way, not the central banker way. You know the old expression, the enemy of my enemy is my friend?
Yeah.
So they all have a common enemy, Trump, Putin, and Xi, and that is the central banking families.
Yes.
I truly believe each of them in their part of the world are working on a plan to retire their central banks. The BRICS nation have been able to do this. They've got rid of the central banks now. They're operating on the BRICS have a whole new financial system that represents 70% of the world population on an asset-backed currency system. How can the U.S. survive on a fiat system when 70% of the world is now moved, publicly stated, moved to a, not a fiat system, backed by the good faith and credit of a nation, but on real tangible assets, namely gold and silver. Other assets are involved in backing currency. But so when you look at precious metals backing currencies and you look at the financial reset, we're not going to get the reset Klaus Schwab talks about. Central bank digital currencies, 15-minute cities. We're going to be living, we'll own nothing and be happy. That's all bunk. We're going to see the financial system reset in 2024. Mm-hmm. I'm that confident it's going to happen this year. We're going to move back to a sound money system. We're going to see inflation come down. Prices moderate. I believe that the elements of, you've heard of Nasara, I believe elements of that will begin to be rolled out later this year at some point, and that we're about 5 years away. It's going to take 3 to 5 years to turn this around, which is not bad considering they've ruled the earth
for thousands or hundreds of years.
The United States has been a captured nation since 2013. Mm-hmm. I mean, since, what am I saying, 2013? No.
1913.
With the Federal Reserve Act, we've been captured since that day. And since 1871, under the act that they made Washington, D.C. a foreign nation, we've been hijacked. And considering it's going to take 3 to 5 years to rebuild our systems, and I'm confident if we were to have this show on this day, 3 years from now, we're going to be talking a whole different ballgame.
Well, you're definitely going to be coming back, I hope.
Well, I'll be around. I'm sure you will be. And maybe, what's the date today? The 20 what? The 20.
Today's the first.
Today's the first.
We're kicking off February. First,
3 years from now, we'll do a show. Guarantee you we'll be talking a completely different language. But I'm sure we're going to get a chance to close our borders, reset the financial system. And then what will follow is the education system, med beds will come out. I truly believe the med bed is going to be really and truly changing the game of our health.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been told by scientists who know what they're talking about, med beds can grow limbs on military guys who have lost their legs. They'll get their legs back. Wow. That it's that sophisticated. Technology's been around for years. It's been hidden from us, right?
I've heard the oxygenation of all of our red and white and, you know, our blood cells will heal us, and that is what they do. And, you know, we know about big pharma. So how that all kind of transpired tied the fact that we have healing mechanisms. And it only makes sense if you know God, that God would never leave you hanging here without an ability, you know, to be healed.
Yeah. Despite the White Hat plan to take back the big picture, the globe, the nation, we have to continue to work on a local level, like you and your husband did running for mayor. We have to do those kinds of things. We have to take back our school boards, our county boards, our city halls. We have to do it on a local level because the CCP and the Khazarian Mafia got down in the trenches at our local levels. In most counties, they infiltrated with money. Yeah. With their communist ideology. And, you know, you sit in a board meeting in California in a lot of these county boards, and you can't believe you're in America when you hear the policies these people are putting forth, you know, the transgender agenda, the open bathrooms to anybody can use any bath. I mean, this is all nonsense.
Yeah.
And I'm want to leave on a good note to say America's heading in the right direction. Yeah. And, in 2024, it'll start with a financial system reset. And then what will follow is we'll be able to reset all the other systems. We have to go back to a sound money system before we can fix anything else.
Yeah. I love listening to you speak. We could take your brain and put that on fire to listen to all day. So we'll definitely be visiting sovereignradio.net.
Well, take two to have a good conversation.
Why, thank you. Here's the one thing, you know, I'll say, well, regarding even my husband, like, his views are, we don't always have the same views, right? Obviously. Nobody, I think, directly sees things the same way. But when you spoke about Washington before we go, and we do always end on a political note here, which I try to find political positivity in this specific show. So I appreciate you doing that. But for some of the new people, because I have some new people crossing over coming onto the platform watching, I think if something is Washington, D.C. being its own entity, they are unaware of, right? So we have these places in the world that are the Vatican, right? And Rome is its own entity. Tell us why you think, or why you know, because I know you probably know what I know, they are their own place. That, you know, they're not like the capital of the United States of America.
No, right? No, they were set up.
People think they are.
They were set up as, I'm going to use the word, sovereign entities that could do whatever they want. Simple as that. Washington, D.C. is a foreign, is captured soil. It's run by a foreign corporation. They incorporated it. It's a foreign corporation, and they've got their own set of laws. The Constitution of the United States, in their world, does not apply to Washington, D.C.
Right.
And so you're going to see the capital of America moved. I believe it's going to be moved to Texas.
Yeah, that would be Texas. Beautiful.
I don't think they're going to keep Washington, D.C. when the White Hat plan is executed and we're on the other side of this. I don't think Washington, D.C. is where we're going to conduct.
Too much really bad, negative, gross vibes up in Washington, D.C.
The vibe and the energy is satanic there.
It's horrible. Drain the Swamp became the actual term that we never really knew what it was. It really became Drain the Swamp because it used to be a swamp there, right? And I'm just sitting here like, wow, look at how far we've come. Like 4 years ago, when you're telling me, you know, we're going to drain this swamp and it wasn't at the capital of America and all this stuff, I was like, what? I'm going to look into this. I was never fighting it. I actually did my research. So I just want to say to everyone, if you're listening to Scotty and I today, please do your research on that one topic alone, and it will dramatically change your views as to how much you've been lied to about who we are and what this country is supposed to be.
They've put on quite a show in D.C. for a couple hundred years now.
I believed them.
We believed them. Yeah, we believed them.
I was like, oh, vote. They're going to take care of us.
The Democrats were debating Republicans. They were having legitimate debates over the issues. No.
Yeah.
No. They've been one and the same uniparty for many, many years. And it's all out in the open. The good news is it's all on the table, out in the open. And I think more Americans now understand the impact of open borders and what's going on with the woke culture. They don't, I don't think the majority of Americans don't see the woke culture as American culture, right?
Right, right.
It's not. It's not the way this country, there is a man and there's a woman and we form a union and we procreate and we have babies and we raise our kids and we teach them Judeo-Christian values in America. That's what's at stake here. And I believe we're going to get it all back. Starting in 2024, this is going to turn around. As soon as Biden is gone, you will hear announcement about a financial reset, returning to asset-backed currency, which JFK tried to do and was assassinated for.
Yeah. Well, you're quite brilliant. I really do enjoy listening to you.
Oh, thank you.
So you guys, I'm going to have you all head on over to sovereignradio.net. I have found Scotty on Twitter. I found Sovereign Radio on True Social. Where else can they find you?
Sovereignradio.net will take you to the radio shows.
It'll take you everywhere.
You can look on Google Play, on iHeart.
Oh, that's right. I was on iHeart and I had one of your shows up. It was, cool. Really, really cool. And I'm going to ask everybody to head over to zstacklife.com using promo code PHP to support stream today. Or you can go to mypillow.com and use the code ILMF16, right? Great. Thank you guys so much. Scotty, if you ever have any free time, you want to come back and chime in on anything, just please holler.
Cool. Well, right. I'll tell you after the convoy, maybe I'll come back and report back how it went.
Great. I know. I wanted to get Fitz over to say hi to you today, and I got like a little bit lost and busy on what I was doing and forgot to call him, but he wanted to come in and pop in and say hi to you. He really enjoyed having you on his show with Awe. Here on our network, and that was a couple of weeks ago. So
good,
you guys
guy.
Can,
good,
yeah, I love guy. Him so much. He's yeah. been such a good friend, F. Simon, to me, and bringing him into the network was actually, I'll have to say, just it felt so wholesome and correct to have him here, right? So anyway, on our way out, I think I will play our little convoy thing so they can see it one more time, you guys. And
thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Anytime. And God bless you. And thank you for all that you're doing for all of us just by being there and standing up for America. So I appreciate thank it. You. All right. Here we go. We're going to go on out with a God bless y'all. God bless POTUS 45 and God bless America. Here's the convoy one last time.